So might we be able to take what has just been brought before us and simply say that he has taken the past, the present, and the future and brought that all before us in the light of God's purpose. And that's what the encouragement is for the believer, where the past, what he has done in saving us, what he has done in calling us, that which has taken place before the ages of this world began, in the heart, in the mind of God, that was sorted out in his mind before we were ever brought into this world. And then the present. And I think this is interesting, what was just said, but then is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in verse 10. When we think of Paul, where we had him in Acts chapter 9, where he was on the road to Damascus, and this great light shone from heaven, and here the apostle is looking and sees this great light. But we don't see physically such a light. And yet by faith, we've had that he has saved us. That's the language of faith that is given to us in verse 9. He hath saved us. He hath called us. And now this is the same language of faith in verse 10 that is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. This is the present reality. That it is now made manifest by his appearing. And by faith we see him. And we say this same Jesus, that God has made both Lord and Christ seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, God's Son, this same Jesus is Lord and Christ. And by faith, he appears to us through the eye of faith and is revealed to our hearts. And this is, again, the language and encouragement, but it's of faith. But it's the eye of faith that sees us, sees this, the person of Christ seated at God's right hand. The work finished. And now in the value of him, this is the present reality for the encouragement. And what is future? We can drop down to the end of verse 12, which I have committed unto him against that day. This is the day that the apostle, and he gives to Timothy as encouragement, that he points him to that which lies ahead, that is at the end of the road, that day, and that we have committed unto him. And it is in view of this. Think of in the first epistle to Timothy, chapter 6, verse 12, we've quoted already, fight the good fight of faith. But he doesn't stop there. He says, fight the good fight of faith. And then he says, lay hold on eternal life. He says, you're fighting now? That's present. Think of the future. Get a hold of what Christ has secured for us through the value of who he is and what he has done by faith. And that day, eternal life with him in the glory, where he's gone to prepare a place for us. Get a hold of eternal life, that place in glory, where he is now seated, waiting for such a day. He waits for that. With anticipation, where all the blood-bought ones will be brought into his presence to joy in him, to glory in him, where he'll be the center of it. But he gives us that hope for us today in this scene of fighting the good fight, laying hold of eternal life, where the appearing of Jesus Christ is our present reality as we wait for the eternal day where these eyes no longer by faith, but shall see him and know him as he is and as we are known. What a glorious hope. We have what he has done in saving us. And then with the calling, we learn of the eternal hope and that which is secured in heaven for us. Oh, what a wondrous Savior, Jesus, our Lord.